Today on Seculo, Trump wins in a landslide that's too big to rig.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Oh, you're there. You're there. Maybe I should take my hat off. I've been wearing it for, I think, the last 24 hours. Folks, a big congratulations to all of you. We have been talking to you for 4 difficult years. I mean, think about that. The hair is all over.
Yeah, all over.
Who cares?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know,
I agree.
I mean, this is the thing. You guys have been fighting for 4 years. We've been fighting at the ACLJ. We've had people, you know, FBI agents showing up at people's doors, whistleblowers, their lives ruined. I mean, real issues. I don't want to make light of that. So when you get a victory that literally no one was predicting, that is a landslide victory amongst all of these different demographic groups. Really, what you saw last night was the cornucopia of America voting for President Trump. You looked into every demographic where it was African-American, women, men, young people, young men. You looked into the, again, Hispanic vote, the Latino vote, however you want to divide that up, both men and women there, and also geographically. When you look at the map, yes, you've got your New Yorks and your West Coast, but even there, if you start looking close in those places, it wasn't like Donald Trump was getting destroyed by states we weren't even competing in. I mean, look at Virginia was on the map for a while. If we had campaigned there and spent real resources, who knows what would have happened? But, you know, you are limited with your resources. So this is what I think we have to do today. Rick Grenell is going to be on with us. Mike Pompeo is going to be on with us. We're going to break through the numbers where we are. Of course, we know Donald Trump will be the 47th president of the United States. I have told you that from this moment till Inauguration Day could be a very dangerous time. And I'm not going to focus too much on that today because this is a day to celebrate America and America voting and America coming out and saying we're not afraid to vote the way that we feel is best for us and feel is best for themselves and their families. And that is what we saw, Logan. We saw people saying, I don't want any more of this Biden, and especially not from Harris, because she was never able to tell the American people what she even wanted to do. So she was running 2 ads at the same time that were different on Israel, 2 ads at the same time, different about the economy. People picked up on it because we live in a national country with national news, and she treated people like they were these voting blocks without their own brains.
Yeah, I think we actually have a time where people actually voted against being told who to vote for. They didn't want to hear it from a celebrity. They didn't want to hear it from anyone. They wanted to make up their own minds. And what they really voted for was the fact that the economy is bad. We need to fix that. And they want their families to feel safe. And there was that bit of relief last night where it felt like, we can live in a country again where I'm not worried 24/7 about my family and their security and their safety. And I wasn't expecting to feel that way, and I did. I went to sleep with that feeling, with that emotion of 100 pounds being lifted off of my shoulders, not because of social issues, not because of anything like that, purely the safety and security of our country and therefore our families. So I think that to me was the big moment. And of course, this is a big referendum on what has been happening over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And it was wild. I didn't expect it. I went in.
I thought we'd be on air with you right now, not knowing. And I said, but if you listened to me yesterday, what I said I was praying for, seriously, for the country and for everyone, every voter out there, was that by the time we were with you tomorrow, we would know who the next president of the United States would be. We know likely the makeup of the U.S. Senate. We know that the Republicans will take control of the U.S. Senate. The big question now is the House of Representatives. We've got those numbers for you. We'll break them down later in the broadcast. But first, I think we want to focus on how we got this victory. And it was a victory that you all folks have been fighting for 4 years. It has been a long fight with prisons and, you know, jails and lawsuits and people losing everything because they believed this much in what America had the potential to be. We'll be right back on Seculo, taking your calls, talking to Rick Grenell. Support our work because we're going to look at those House races wherever we need to help there. We will. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Welcome back to Just Secular. We are taking your calls, too, on this victory. If you got questions, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is joining us now. And, Rick, I texted to you, I think it was already today when I did it, but you have been someone, and you deserve credit for it on the broadcast. You've been fighting for President Trump and his ideas for really the last 3.5, almost 4 years on this broadcast, traveling the country through midterms, through different election cycles, working to get this country back on track. So I just want your first reaction, Rick, when you saw the numbers start coming in, not just the ideas that it looked good going into election night, but the actual votes. How did you feel?
Well, it was such a big night, Jordan. It was, I think I felt in the very beginning it was a little slow. I'm frustrated that we don't have our secretaries of state and the county clerks working faster. I think we've got to fix that. There's no reason we can't get this information faster. I mean, look, Arizona has proven to be the most corrupt place for elections. It's unbelievable that they're still at like 50-some percent of the vote counted. Oregon is at 72%. I mean, this is unacceptable to be able to, you know, have a democracy, a republic that works towards transparency and accountability, and yet we can't fix some of these elections issues. But as the numbers came in, certainly the big news for me was Pennsylvania, and then to see Wisconsin and Michigan as well. Now to look at Arizona and Nevada, I mean, Donald Trump just crushed it. He was the campaign manager. He was the campaign spokesman. He was the campaign chief strategist. What we have now learned is that Donald Trump has been running ahead of every single politician who is winning in these elections from the Republican side. He is the leader of the party. We're going to be talking about for the next 20 years who the Donald Trump America First candidate is, and he deserves every single credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, he was, listen, even before being shot, I mean, and I say that, Rick, really honestly, I mean, the legal lawfare that was launched against him, I mean, we spent 2 years fighting back on that. I mean, I did interview. I remember getting up at, you know, 5 a.m. every day doing interviews on Fox and Newsmax, those places, just trying to update people, but also trying to keep people calm that this would not impact his ability to run the race, that he's not the kind of person that this would sidetrack. And he proved that as well, how tough he was, not only dealing with that, but dealing with the threats that he faced and the actual attempts on his life that he faced. I know a lot of our, I think before I get to that question, I know a lot of our listeners, our viewers right now, Rick, one thing I'm sure they'd want to hear from you is, what was it like to be around President Trump last night and the family and those who have been fighting, you know, 24/7 for 4 years to get him back?
Look, I was nervous. People around me were nervous, and you'd look at President Trump and he was calm. He was taking calls. He was looking at data, but smiling, joking, always taking time to talk to people. And I was like, wow, this is unbelievable how cool he is. It just, and cool, like, you know, calm. And I just have to say that watching him last night in the midst of this and how calm he was, it just shows Americans that we have the right leader. He maintains this calm, cool, collected attitude, whether it's about him, whether it's about the safety of our country. He literally is just somebody who is focused, and I think God's got his hand on him. I think he's blessed as a great leader, and we're lucky to have him.
Yeah, Rick, this is Logan. I was going to text you too, but I was like, yo, it's 1 a.m. I'll let you know tomorrow. I think it can't be understated also how much people like you, and of course the bringing together, when you see that room last night, and there's Elon Musk, and there's Dana White, and there's you, and there's Tulsi Gabbard, and RFK, and this group of people, an unlikely maybe pairing of a lot of different people. It really showed that there was this broad, you know, it almost this morning when I saw those pictures, I went, well, of course, this is how it went. These are people that even my 10-year-old or my 12-year-old son is, you know, knows who they are, appreciates the work they do, knows about it. This was sort of America right there in that room.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, having Tulsi and RFK Jr., two high-profile Democrats who came over, and while they don't agree with President Trump on everything, they just said he's the best for the job. That was amazing. I think that was, it was remarkable. And look, I did a lot of work with the Arabs and Muslims in Detroit, Dearborn, Michigan, the literally the center of Democrats and Arabs for the last, you know, decade. They voted for President Trump. He won Dearborn, Michigan. And now you think about why. It's because people want peace. They don't want wars. And Donald Trump proved that he knows how to deliver peace through the Abraham Accords, through the Kosovo-Serbia negotiations, four economic agreements that he got. This is somebody who knows how to deliver because he's a businessman. He wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. He knows how to do this, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this deal-making for America in the next 4 years.
We also know, I mean, Rick, that he will have the benefit of being president before, with a strong Senate majority. We don't know how strong it will be, but we're hoping to add more to that as the votes are counted. I'm frustrated like you. I would like, it's just absurd that we don't have all these votes by then. But the idea that, you know, he is going to be able to go in with a team having been through this before and having 4 years to think about it too, that can go right in and get that work started. It's not like starting from scratch in a brand new administration. This is a team that people like you and others, you have the contacts, you have the resources, you've been working with them, you've been in touch with them. The fact that you were able to go to that community in Dearborn, Michigan, and say, and you know, they were welcoming and they wanted to be part of this coalition. I thought last night what was the worst of the left media coverage was how they just started picking and choosing different demographic groups to blame. They still didn't figure it out, Rick, that, you know, people vote individually. They don't just vote as a group. And so, you know, first they were mad at white women. Then it was black men. Then it was Latinos and Hispanics. And then it was just, I think, everybody. I mean, you know, it was basically they were just mad at the country. And that's, I think, what they lost during this entire campaign was trying to put everybody into a box. And like, this box, they only care about this. This box only cares about this. And we'll say that to them and they'll vote for us. And what we saw was that they weren't going to vote for them. But bigger than that, Rick, is that they came out and voted for Donald Trump. They didn't sit on their hands.
Oh. Yeah, look, I think people want to be treated with respect. They want to have a discussion. Nobody in America is black and white when it comes to their views on policy issues. And you need to be able to have these conversations. I mean, look, getting peace is really difficult because you've got to work hard at it. It's so much easier just to ignore problems and let them fester into chaos or war. And I think the same goes for winning elections. You've got to show up. Look how hard President Trump worked. He went in to places like California, Madison Square Garden. He did a rally in New Mexico. I mean, he was really working hard in places that people didn't expect. And you compare that to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris didn't go to Dearborn, Michigan. It reminds me of Hillary Clinton not going to Wisconsin. When a Democrat doesn't go to Dearborn, Michigan, to the heart of Democrat votes, you have to ask yourself why. What's the problem?
So, Rick, for our listeners, I mean, I think the priority right now, once we all settle down from, and again, I want to give people a day to celebrate. They deserve it. They have been working hard, too, for 4 years. They've been going through it with us. They've been fighting with us. They've been telling their friends and family. They've been supporting President Trump for literally longer than even the campaign because they saw how he came under attack with the lawfare, with the raids. But then I think, you know, we have to get back down to it. And we've got these races out there like the House races. And I think that's probably where, you know, finishing up some of these Senate races, Rick, and then looking at these House races where there could be some runoffs and legal issues. I think that's where we've got to look.
Yeah, we got to finish this race strong, and then you know what? We got 2 years from now. We got to do it all over again. Our work never quits to make America great.
Absolutely not. And Rick, it's been an honor again having you throughout this process. Congratulations to you, and you really have been one of the strongest supporters of President Trump, clearest supporters of President Trump. You've been all over the world, putting it all on the line, and again, you deserve one of those days too. To just take those congratulations. They are heartfelt. They are serious. And we appreciate you being part of our team as well at the ACLJ. And folks, we appreciate you as well. And we're going to do what Rick just said. We're going to make sure we refocus. This is not over. To make sure we get the strongest possible Congress there for President Trump. Support our work at ACLJ.org. All right, welcome back to Seculo. And again, someone else who has been very key to this victory and been traveling the country at a time, again, for years, folks, that we've been, we've had these team members on who have been ready to do what they needed to do to get President Trump back to office, to make sure that the country had an opportunity to get back on track quickly instead of having another 4 years. And we are joined now by former Secretary of State and our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I know I texted you last night or this morning, I guess, but just your reaction from this overwhelming victory from so many different parts of America's fabric, which was so encouraging to me and my family, which was to see all of these different groups of people come together to support President Trump, his message, his ideas, and what he wants to do for the country and the world.
Isn't it remarkable what we witnessed? We witnessed Americans from every race, from every faith, from every economic background just say enough. This has been a terrible 4 years. What President Trump delivered to the United States, to everyone, was a fundamentally good thing. The world wasn't on fire. And we saw them just walk into the polls and demonstrate massive common sense, exactly like our founders anticipated, exactly like this organization, the ACLJ, works for, on these common sense ideas about America's most important traditions. And we saw that manifest itself all across America last night in places one might not have expected. And that bodes well, not only for the team that President Trump will select and put on the field, all of whom we should pray for, but for this nation and its capacity to move beyond what has been the debacle of these last now almost 4 years to a brighter future, a more affordable, prosperous America, and a place where there is more peace in the world. It's a wonderfully good thing for the whole world today, Jordan.
Mr. Secretary, last night's election turned out in a way that I think, in another way that we all hoped for, that it wouldn't be this drawn out, razor thin margin that left everyone with questions. It was a very decisive victory. It looks like that President Trump will have won the popular vote. So hopefully we can put to rest some of those calls to get rid of the Electoral College. But you also see expanding the Senate. The House is in very good shape to retain the majority. We won't know that for a little bit. But what kind of mandate has the American people sent to Washington with this election that we saw last night?
Pretty clear message. Stop the madness of wokeism. Close our southern border. Create American sovereignty. Support our allies and friends in ways that don't draw the United States into endless wars. Build an American economy on American energy. These were the messages that resonated with Latin Americans, Hispanics, African Americans. These are messages that resonate all across America, which is like, we just want our kids to go to good schools and we just want them to have the opportunity that our generation had. And the mandate to go work on this, to protect religious freedom around the world and to deliver these outcomes could not have been more clear. I think the president will stay on that mission. It's what he campaigned on. And much like I witnessed personally in his first 4 years, I am very confident that President Trump will wake up every morning and say, what did I promise the American people I will do? And how do I go make it more likely that I'll achieve that today? And as long as he and his team stay focused on that, I think the world and America will be far better off.
Secretary Pompeo, I want
to address also was I feel like it's also a referendum on the safety and security of our families. That's something that I felt as those results were coming in, a moment of relief because of things like the Abraham Accords that you obviously were instrumental in, that there was no real big threats of terrorism under the Trump administration. And honestly, in the last 4 years, that impending thought that we are headed towards chaos, and even just the chaos in the streets of our own country or in our schools, I think it played a pretty big part in people's final decisions on where they're going to vote. Not only the economy, which I know played a huge part, but also just the safety and security, even the feeling of safety and security in our country.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I heard someone this morning on MSNBC. I took my life in my own hands and watched it for about 20 minutes this morning. There was a gentleman who said, you know, no, you guys, he was countering what was being said. He said, no, you're wrong. I walk into a store and, you know, shaving lotion is behind closed locked counters at the Target or the Walgreens. That I think that gets exactly to your point. The American people could feel that their security and their children in schools was just really at risk. And you know, so many Americans have friends or family members who are serving in the United States Armed Forces. I don't think they had any confidence in our commander-in-chief. By the way, he's still our commander-in-chief. We've not heard a word from him. I think you're precisely right. This idea that somehow America's security, its place in the world, and therefore the personal security of every American was something that was being called into question. They could feel it. And I think while foreign policy is almost never top of the line issue, I think the American people could get a sense that their security here at home and around the world was threatened, and they wanted to say, nope, we're not going to take this anymore.
And Secretary Pompeo, I think so too. The idea that we needed a big win, and we needed a big win because we want to fight off this bogus lawfare that has been an attempt to plague Donald Trump and damage Donald Trump and make it more difficult for him to campaign or try to distract him. Of course, none of that worked. The American people saw right through it. But that this is that moment too, to put things like, whether it's, you know, switching to a popular vote and they realize that's like might not work out well for them, but also the idea of using these legal systems to go after political opponents in America, like we're some third world banana republic, is going to be something that was very short term in our country and not something that becomes entrenched in the United States of America.
Jordan, I think the American people could see that. They saw right through this. It was indecent. The Biden administration weaponized the Justice Department. You know, I hear them talk about, oh, they're worried that Donald Trump will somehow go after his adversaries. Well, they used the federal government to indict him and go after his family. I pray that President Trump will restore faith and integrity in these institutions and get the FBI, the Justice Department, all of our central institutions back on mission, back doing the things that matter, not behaving, to your point, like a banana republic, not using that power to accrete more power for themselves and protect themselves. We desperately need to get this right. The American people could see that, they could feel it, and they mandated that. They gave the president the authority to go out and clean these institutions up, set them back on mission, get them back on the right track so that we can restore faith and confidence in them in the same way that last night's election, I think, restored faith and confidence in our election system as well.
We got about 30 seconds. I'm not talking about all of the bureaucracy, because there's some very good people in our government who sacrifice and work hard. But those who have been problematic for Republicans for decades, we've got 4 years here. How do you think they're feeling this morning? Those bureaucrats who loved leaking, they loved putting out information. They like to get information to the Congress to see if they could get impeachment going or an investigation going. I don't think they ever thought that Donald Trump was really coming back. I really think they thought he could not win. And now they've got to deal with this reality as well.
Jordan, you're right. There's some great people that have dedicated their life to service of America. And then there's a bunch of folks, I saw them at the State Department, who tried to undermine President Trump and me and what we were trying to achieve. You know, I hope not what they're thinking this morning. I hope that they are sharpening their resumes. I hope they're all trying to figure out what they're going to do next, because the American people deserve better than having people undermining what it is that they voted for yesterday and what they're demanding President Trump do. And we need every federal official to deliver against that mandate.
Absolutely right, and they should. This is a mandate to get them out. We'll be right back on Seculo.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, we've got calls coming in. We're going to take those calls, 1-800-684-3110. And you know, we're very serious at ACLJ. First thing, of course, we did last night. Of course, we're tracking the numbers, watching the numbers. That's what you want to know, right? And then you want to know about the Senate. We're still watching the House. And I will tell you, just so you know, because we want to get into some other numbers here, we're going to watch the House very carefully. Right now, it could go anything from, I mean, being just the slimmest of majorities, like 218 to 217 with Republicans in control, to maybe up to like 221. I mean, so it would be nice to have a little bit of a breathing room in there in the House of Representatives, but it is not guaranteed yet that Republicans will keep the House. So there is work to do. There will probably be some of these that will be recounts. I go back to what Rick said, too, about just the fact that the voting is just, it should not be, you know, after 12 p.m. Eastern time and votes can't be counted in the entire country. It's just absurd. It doesn't make sense. It drives people up the wall. Now, it wasn't as bad this time when it came to the presidential, but that's because we had a wave election, a huge wave election. And I just kind of want to go around to each of you, Logan, because I think when I was watching it, it was kind of just, it wasn't jaw-dropping. It was that feeling like, oh, this is happening again.
Yeah, I think that's how I felt. One, we got to go back to this. If Florida can count all the votes, like 98% of the votes, within an hour,
right?
We need to get to the point where every other state can probably do the same. We need to go look to Florida. Now, Florida, look, we go back to 2000, Florida was the problem, and they fixed the problem. Right. So now you still have Arizona being the problem. You have these states being the problems. Ones that could be easily fixed, look at whatever Florida's doing and replicate that. But I felt the same way as they were showing, especially in Georgia, when they were showing in Georgia that the pockets that were coming in were still in the bluest of blue areas in Atlanta, in Fulton County. It did give me those flashbacks of, well, here we go again. People were started texting me, you know, early celebratory texts. And I kept saying, I learned my lesson the last time. So I am not responding to this in any sort of positive manner. I'm responding with, you know, it's still very early. Sure, I feel better now than I did 2 hours ago. Because look, the Harris campaign, you know, clearly couldn't perform, but up until a few hours into this results, they had me convinced the last week had been a pretty bad week for President Trump. Or last week, really since Madison Square Garden. And could that... It really could have been a pretty quick, decisive win for Harris. They had that in my head. So when those numbers started to come in, they felt unbelievable. And again, I said it before, I think this is not only a referendum specific, it's not necessarily only people who are dedicated to President Trump. These are people that are looking at what's happening in the country and saying, this is not who we are. This is not what we do, whether it's what we're doing in the law, whether what we're doing in schools. This is not America. And mainly, look at the economy. And all those exit polls that kept saying democracy was the number one concern, that democracy was on the line. Well, what they didn't realize is that meant not the same thing to different voters. Everyone had a different thought. Of course, democracy is very important to Republicans and to Democrats. Of course, for some reason in their head, the pollsters thought, oh, if they said that, that must mean they're more liberal.
Well, and it shows you the bias of the legacy media that has maybe one of the biggest losers of this election, besides Kamala Harris and her entire campaign, is the legacy media. Because at this point, what's the point?
Yeah, legacy
what
media is the point? And celebrity endorsements,
right?
Completely pointless.
Because they were telling you a false narrative the entire time, and they have made it, even us, hear the word democracy when someone responds to a poll, because it was options, which of these are your top concerns? And you hear democracy, it's like, oh, well, that's bad numbers for President Trump. It's like, no, this entire thing is a democratic process that's going forward.
So with the ACLJ, you say, you know, where do you go next? We go to those House races that haven't been called. We go to those Senate races that haven't been called. So we will be working there. We can't allow anything fraudulent in those votes that are being counted, in these slow votes that are coming in. So we want to be ready if we need to legally engage on those. Some will be recounts. All that involves legal processes. So we're going through those as we speak right now. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. You still get double the impact of your donation. So whatever you donate, we will get double right now at aclj.org as we protect the vote. We'll be right back on Seculo. play a few. I think a lot of you are probably, you know, tuned into some more conservative news last night, but you may have, after, especially after President Trump won or was on the path to winning, it was certainly fun to occasionally click over to an MSNBC and watch them try to just, they were just squirming in their seats. Who could they blame next? Black women. Could they blame white women? Could they explain men, young men, college students? Oh, where are those college student votes? Middle Easterners, Arabs, Muslims.
The answer to all of that, though, is we got to get rid of
everybody they wanted to
blame.
We got to
get rid of these, you know, this is how the people vote because of their skin color and all that. We're done with that. Last night was the end of that. If we still think that that is the case, you're living in a different America than what's in reality.
And that's because how long have we been taught as kids, and how much do we teach our kids that in America, we may look different, we may have different backgrounds, but we're all Americans. That means we want and dream of the same things, which is a better life for our family, those who've come here, and our families came here for that, freedom, security, and liberty, and the ability to have freedom of speech, but have strong defense, and again, to have those protections, and to have a government that doesn't kill us with taxes and doesn't scare us or demonize us because we might not always agree with all of their positions. And a government that will protect us from the fentanyl and will protect us from do you think, what a referendum on border walls.
Yeah.
What a referendum on border security. I mean, you know what, to all those cartels? I mean, this is a signal to them too. The American people have been awake. They have seen what you have done to their families, and they have elected someone who is not afraid to shut you down, and put your leaders away in the most far away prisons that we've got in the United States, or kill them if necessary, just like we killed the terrorist leaders under Donald Trump.
I definitely think that we should play this clip from CNN.
Well,
again,
politically, yeah.
They were, you know, they were trying their best to hold it together, but here's a clip from CNN. This is obviously John King.
So you asked, are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we could show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming in 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything in the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
Not one county. And that was sort of when the tide started to really turn.
Well, and also when you look at some of those counties where Donald Trump overperformed, you look at Florida, Miami-Dade County, Joe Biden won by 7.3%. Miami-Dade County, you'd expect to lean Democrat in 2020. He won by 7.3% in 2020, right? Which is a big number, but actually what you would expect, actually a little bit better for Trump in Miami-Dade. In 2024, against Kamala Harris, Donald Trump won it by 11.5%. That is an 18.8% swing in 4 years away from Democrats.
These were the social issues, pushing abortion like crazy, pushing the men in sports, the men in the locker rooms, all these kind of things, to a community that fled communism, socialism, and authoritarianism. Because Miami-Dade, while yes, there's a big Cuban vote, the bigger, newer votes are people who have left other South American dictatorships, like in Venezuela and others. And when they hear someone like Tim Walz say socialism is just being like a nice neighbor, no, that scares them to say, I'm not voting for anybody who thinks socialism is a good thing. And Harris gave people, let's just be honest, she never got elected to this position. It wasn't very American in the whole process. And every question she got, including from Anderson Cooper, was she never had an answer to. All we knew was her policies were going to be liberal, and that's because she was going to be advised by a bunch of kids putting in liberal policies because she had no actual beliefs. People really didn't like her. And the truth is, in America, you don't get elected if people don't like you or don't think that you're going to protect them. Sometimes you do elect the tough guy that you may not always want to be around and hang out around, but you know is going to do the best for you because he wants to do the best for everybody, and he's a tough guy. He's going to get on. The Houthi rebels have already called for a ceasefire in the Red Sea. He's not even president yet. He's president-elect, and these terrorists are running underground.
Yeah, I think this is a big moment, and you can't underestimate how wild it is right now.
Yeah, and I want to say this too, because this is still, like I said, if President Trump wins, we are still in a dangerous time. Okay? They are down on their luck today. They are. Okay, that's going to be today. But they're already going to start thinking, how can we thwart him? How, if they truly believe that he is a threat to democracy, how could they just let this go, right? Even if the American people are, in their mind, just ridiculous and absurd that they would vote for him. So what do they have planned? And how do we prepare for whatever onslaught's coming? Well, let's get that House number as high as we can. So let's get those votes counted. Let's get that Senate number as high as we can. And groups like ours, the legal groups like ours, are ready to go today, like I said we would. I told you I think it could get very dangerous between now and Inauguration Day. Now, we got a wave election, so it wasn't like they barely lost. And the Democrats can't claim that. They got destroyed. It wasn't like, oh, the map just looks bad. If you actually look inside the votes within the map, they were nowhere close in a lot of these states. They were way off. They were losing suburban Philadelphia by percentages. I mean, these were places that should have been walk in the park for them. But again, we have to be ready because we know people like Adam Schiff are heading to the U.S. Senate. Yep. There's still an opportunity. There is still a chance they take the House, the Democrats. Will they be impeaching President Trump every way, even though they're with a Republican Senate? I just want to be ready to push back hard because I want President Trump and his team to be able to implement as many policies, get the right people in place as they can as quickly as possible. And we set that tone starting today. And that's why we encourage you to support us at ACLJ.org. Remember, they didn't want him on the ballot, and we beat them back at the U.S. Supreme Court. That's how scared they were of Donald Trump, truthfully. Truthfully, they didn't want to run against him again. That should have told you a lot right there. But then second, they wanted people to vote who were not citizens. And they fought that through the DNC, and we beat that back. And then, they thought, oh, if you file those, though, the Hispanics won't vote for you. They don't like you. The truth is, American people who come from Hispanic origin or Latino origin are Americans. They don't want people who shouldn't be voting to vote because that cancels out legal votes and their votes. So their issues, their ideas, their hopes and dreams for their families are all the same. We're all pretty similar. You might be in a different spot in life. You might be dreaming bigger than others, but we all families came here for the same reason and have fought for this Democratic Republic for the same reason. The FOIAs, the attacks on whistleblowers, we are going to be able to do a lot of work there, folks, to get rid of so much of the deep state bureaucracy. But we're going to need you to stand with us. They're not going to go easy. They're not going to go easy. And I still feel like let's be prepared for whatever the House Democrats and Senate Democrats, even though they'll be in the minority, it looks like, have planned to try and make this hell for 4 years for Donald Trump and his supporters. Because that is what they did, Logan, for the first four years, including people who are still on trial for working for President Trump four years ago.
Yeah, and President Trump himself. Let's talk about the House. Can we have a bit of an update of where we actually are with that? I know people are all talking about that in the chat saying, we need the House. Where are we? Where are things right now? We know that Vice President Harris is going to concede tonight. I think they said around 4 o'clock maybe is probably when.
4 o'clock now.
4 o'clock Eastern. They keep moving the time, but 4 Eastern right now is when apparently she'll be making a speech to the country. Of course, not showing up last night to her big rally. I think, to me, I could see a lot of people who are really upset with that, saying that just showed her character right there, that you wouldn't walk out to the thousands of people that have been waiting there till midnight and just say, we're still counting the votes. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Couldn't even do that. Yeah. It's a pretty... It's pretty shameful. I hate that. But Will, where are we with that?
Yeah, so right now Republicans have 204 seats. You need 218 to control the chamber. And there are a range of projections anywhere from 221 all the way down to 218 to keep the majority. Politico just sent a push notification, literally as you were talking, Logan, that Speaker Johnson and the GOP are bullish on holding the House in control, but it's still too close to call. Yeah. But it looks like, especially when you look at that map that John King showed, where not a single county in the entire country did Kamala Harris outperform Joe Biden 2020, that is very good for House races, because if you saw some blue pockets in areas, you could expect, oh, maybe the House race there in that congressional district may be a little bit better. It's going to be close. There are definitely split ticket voters, especially in some of these blue wall states. But we will see what happens. And it does look good for a potential control of all three chambers and a win in the popular vote.
Yeah, I think we also need to talk about when we get back sort of another referendum against the abortion industry in Florida. Maybe one of the first times we've seen one of those actually be successful. So Florida, you know, not going.
I think that's because DeSantis actually leaned in and fought for it.
Yeah, so let's talk about that when we get back. We're also going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open again right now because a lot of people are on hold for a while and just couldn't stay on hold for an hour.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot to cover today. Again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org again to support our work. Beyond politics, we are always there for you. So do that right now at ACLJ.org.
To secular. Yeah, throughout this week, too, we're going to keep breaking down more and more for you. I did want to give people a day to celebrate as well. I mean, it's fun to watch the meltdown of the left, especially because they've been so nasty. I mean, they have been so nasty about all of us. They've called us racist. They've called us Nazis. They've called us fascist. Now they have to call us winners. Because we
won. Landslide winners.
Landslide wave winners. Like, we just beat their chosen candidate because they got rid of the guy who was supposed to be their candidate and they got to pick and choose who they wanted. And that worked well.
Look, I think that should have been a moment maybe we need to look back on is there was that, you know, lip reading conversation between Barack Obama and Joe Biden at, I think it was at RFK's Jr.'s mom's funeral. And there was a conversation where it was like, she's not that strong. You know, I probably could have done better. That's paraphrasing. But I think they knew. They knew in those moments things were not going their way. The spin was out of control because the media has such a hold that there's no way that you could say she didn't have a chance. But I think they knew in the back of their minds that this was not going to go this way. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. A lot of you are calling in. Let's go to Alex first. Listen on Sirius XM. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just want to say hats off to you and the great job you do, and I appreciate you. Over-the-road truck driver and listening to you keeps me informed and makes the day go by a lot better. And I'll be real brief on what I want to say, and that is prayers for President Trump and, you know, what he's got to do to get ready to serve the next 4 years and pray that he gets some rest between now and Inauguration Day and him and his family can get ready to make things happen for us over the next 4 years. In respects to that, I'd like to hear what you guys have got to say about, I want to savor the moment and the victory. We shouldn't forget this for a long time. And eventually in the future, we're in 2028, we're going to be facing another presidential election again. What would you say would be the best way that Trump could show J.D. Vance and people that could be potentially on the horizon that they're intricate parts in his policy making of the next 4 years to carry on 4 years beyond that? So that's all I want to say, and thank you for a moment.
Point. It's a really good point because he's going to be having to bring up the next generation of leaders. Obviously, J.D. Vance is one of those as vice president now, but there'll be others in the cabinet. There'll be others part of the team and others that will run. To look at what he did and to say, let's take that and let's take it to the next level. Because you can't stop. You can't stop growing, right? You want to take what he's done and you want to, as you said, learn the intricacies, but also say, how do we take this and get more votes this way? We should be investing. We learned new places we should invest. That you don't have to be as kind of bold thinking as Donald Trump to say, you know what? We need to go into some of these areas we think we can't win in. It doesn't mean that you have to be ridiculous and waste your money in states that are not going to be are going to be too difficult to pull off in a statewide race. And there will still be some of those states in 4 years. But what it does mean is that you can go to communities that the left tells you you have no chance in and actually win. And that's how you start a wave. And that's how you also build walls and you have all of these different paths to victory. Where last night, before midnight, she really didn't have a path to victory.
No, they were already essentially calling. I mean, I was watching a lot of News Nation's coverage. I got to give it up to them. They were calling it way earlier than anybody else and were taking some big swings, and they were right 100% of the time.
Donald Trump has a lot to live up to now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Two things have to happen. The economy's got to turn around, and the world stage has got to feel safe again. Those are two things. If he does that, remember, like you said, we're going to have a brand new president in 4 years. Guaranteed.
They're going to be running in two.
So this is going to be a really short period of time to see if President Trump can do what he says he can do. Now, he did before, so I'm not going to be surprised that he could do it again, but let's just see what happens. Let's continue on with some calls. Annabelle's in California watching on Rumble, who's an ACLJ champion, which I really appreciate it. You're on the air.
Okay, I just want to say globally and within, our enemies are reloading their political ammunition, as you've said. We must never let our guard down. And as citizens, become very active in local politics on all levels. We need fierce legal watchdogs to protect our core values and the liberty of individuals at home and worldwide. Please, I ask all of you listening to become an ACLJ champion. Be assured that you are partnering with the most qualified team of experts to help enable America to reach its greatest potential. God continue to bless our country and the ACLJ.
Thank you, Annabelle. Thanks for all of your support, too, of the ACLJ, for all of you ACLJ champions out there who make sure we have those resources necessary. To our legal team who made sure, even if it was somebody who just needed help making sure they were voting the right way, we had that set up. Now we will start looking at these House races and some of these Senate races to make sure there's nothing going on there, that they need legal assistance, that we can provide at no cost, because, again, those are protecting your constitutional rights. And I think she is right in the sense, and I think we saw that last night. It may have been quiet. Well, listen, we live in a very red state. It was still very quiet where I voted. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was, where I am, is that most of the people I was around voted like I did. And we don't all look exactly the same. We don't all sound the same. We don't all have the same economic background. But one thing that we had in common was this administration, whether we publicly said it like I do for my job and part of my work that I get to do, and that's awesome, that a lot of people don't have that ability to just go into their office and say how they feel, that's how they did it. They've been sick and tired of the way their kids have been taught at school, sick and tired of being told you can't watch what we're teaching them when they were at home with COVID, sick and tired of the attacks on free speech. They like Elon, they love Elon Musk. He's taking back a space program in the U.S., and the fact that he's doing all of that while also protecting our freedom of speech online against big tech is amazing, and he deserves credit for that. People like Joe Rogan, who have these unbelievable careers where they have made hundreds of millions of dollars and don't have to get into this world of politics if they didn't want to, were willing to put their name on the line because they've got kids too. They have teenagers too. And I don't think they want their kids living in a world where what their dad did would somehow be illegal.
Yeah, I want to also say, obviously, there's a lot of people that were fed a lot of lies over the last couple years. So there's going to be a lot of people on your social media feeds, I'm already seeing in mine, who are in full-blown panic. Pray for those people. And let's show them that what those were lies.
Right. We are not Nazis. We are not fascists. We are not trying to destroy democracy. And to those people out there, remember, those people that told you that are all very wealthy, you know, established Washington, D.C. people. And military people. Too, we had some of them. If they truly believed that Donald Trump being president was going to destroy America and destroy democracy as they know it, they wouldn't just be sitting on their hands this morning on cable news talking about it. Okay? That was just political rhetoric at its worst. At its worst, because it led to him almost being killed twice that we know of. Lord knows there are probably other times that we don't know of.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone who's on hold now.
So pray for President Trump and his security.
Oh, absolutely.
Folks, the rhetoric's going to stay intense. Pray for him. Pray for his team. That they, again, make good decisions. That they have that shield of protection around them. That they feel it as well so that you can think clearly. Because it's tougher when you feel like you're under attack and under assault to not kind of be responsive like that. But you saw from President Trump, I think last night, someone who, maybe for the first time in this kind of acceptance speech, truly grateful to what the American people have given him the opportunity to do, what has only happened once in our history before, which is to come back from being a one-term president and then 4 years later coming back again as president. It's only happened one other time in our history, only time in our modern history any of us have lived through. Support the work of the ACLJ. We need it because we're watching these races that are still in call. We know there's stuff going on. ACLJ.org. Donate today.